Father God, we pray, Lord, as I would get out of the way, you would step in the way. It's all about you, God. You increase. Move in a mighty way, God. We need you right now. Your word, your way, your will, Lord. We give you the honor, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all go ahead and play that. I like that.
Oh, it's in somebody's spirit to say, oh, sometimes we don't have the words to form in our mouth, but we can say, Lord, have your way on today in the building. Bible says, cry loud and spare not. Say, oh, 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 oh. Somebody's gonna get it in a minute. Say, oh.
Zephaniah, the book of Haggai. Just go to Matthew and go back two books. the book of Haggai, chapter 1. I want to look at verse 8 and verse 13. And we won't keep you long. Amen. We thank God for this, his presence this morning. Oh, God. The book of Haggai, chapter 1, and verse 8, and then verse 13. Let's look at verse 8. Shall we read it together? Amen. Go to verse 13 and let us read it together. Shall we read? Amen. I want to use a rather unusual topic to go with this. Amen. If you would just bear with the words for a little while, it would bring it together. I want to talk on the topic this morning, the pour out and the sprinkle. The pour out and the sprinkle. God is a God that allows his children to see what he's doing for us. God has not hidden it from those that belong to him, the things that he's going to do for us. I think what happens is we get caught up in the now and never reflect on what then or what was or what he have already done for us during the was. And it becomes very difficult for us to understand now when we forget about what was. And when I make the statement of now versus what was, oftentimes we have to reflect on what was to understand now. And because the what was tells me where I was, and it was because of where I was that helps me to deal with the now. God help me. And if you don't understand what was, just reflect about why I'm still alive now. God help me, somebody. Because what was could have been some very difficult times. And what happened, we look at what's now and we say the now shouldn't be difficult. Why am I still in this situation? I just got out of what was, and now I'm in something else. My question is, what did you learn in the back what was? Something had to have happened to get you to the point of now. In other words, let me help some of those folk out that don't understand that what was is when you didn't have what you have now. What was situations that of what attacked you in life that caused you to almost want to give up when you was back in your what was. Any witnesses to that? I know I have some folk that would say that what was kind of messed me up. God help me. And some folk that was in my life that was there that I thought I was going to die. God help me in the what was now. In the what was, you almost, and some said some things that wasn't good in the what was. But now you find yourself in the now. And in the now, it seems like it's coming back to you. And you say, I don't know what to do. Baby, think about what was. Because what was, somebody had to help you through what was. Help me, somebody. Somebody was there.
into what was. Somebody stood by my side into what was because they wanted to lock me up and throw away the key into what was. Help me, somebody. Somebody can identify into what was. I was locked up, and God protected me, and I survived in that predicament. But now I got another predicament. Can I tell you something? Your predicament that you're faced with now ain't nothing like what was when the Lord came in what was and brought you out to the now. Can I get somebody to just give God some praises on that? Because of what now, baby, it can't take you out, because what was should have took you out. If you made it through what was, you'll make it through the... God, help me, somebody. I'm trying to get somebody to see this thing. Is that the devil tried to kill you in what was when you wasn't close to God. The devil tried to kill you in what was when you really didn't know who God was. But in the what was, you learn how to pray. God, help me, somebody. In the what was, you learn how to anoint yourself with oil. In the what was, and God picked you up and said, now you know me. Now I'm going to take you to the now. God, help me. So in the now, I should know better. In the now, I should know that prayer still works. Come on. Don't lose your mind now. You should have lost your mind then. But you still got it together and you still made it to the now. Why do you want to lose your mind now? Why do you want to walk out on the Lord now? Why do you want to worry about all of the things now when you was in the what was? And God brought you through to the now. And so that in the lesson of the now, you should learn here that whatever it was then, it stunted me, it slowed me down. But then God caused me to be able to make it from day to day. And then I got wrapped up, tied up in the now. The book of Haggai, when I look at the book of Haggai, the brother here is a minor prophet. There are 5 major prophets, 12 minor prophets. And the major prophets doesn't mean the importance of the minor, but it means the length of time that God used them in their mission. Help me, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, no big eyes, no little use. It's just that God chose one to go through it a little longer than the other. And so what happens here in the minor prophet, the first 9 of the minor prophets was prophesying from the word of God during the time that the children of Israel, the Jews, was in an exile period in Babylonian territory. God had become very upset with the children of Israel, his children, because of their disobedience. And so God took them and allowed them to be captured in captivity. The Babylonian government had orders over them. They were in captivity. They were slaves to them. And so God allowed them to go. Somebody say, God allows. God allows things to happen. He is in control. I don't care what nobody said. God is still in control. Whether God's in it, he's in control. If God stepped back, he's still in control. God allows it. Help me, somebody. He allows it whether you good, and he allows some things whether you bad. God allows. God, help me. And that lets you know that just because God does do the one that allows, it lets me know him that God's got control of the situation. Can I tell you something? That God allows us to see the example of how we should be in every situation. God is cool about it when things are going good, and God is still cool about it when things are going bad. And as a child of God, he is our example of how we ought to be. When things are bad, we ought to be cool about it. Help me, somebody. When things are good, we ought to be cool about it. Other words, yeah. Because when I'm talking to some children that are God's children now, but because what happens when things are going good in our life, we ought to still be cool. We ought to keep it together. Don't get big-headed, other words. Don't think you're better than the other one because things are going good. But when things are going bad, you ought to still be cool about it because you know who your Redeemer is. God, help me, somebody. You ought to still be cool about it when things are going bad because you ought to know that it's just a temporary time. It's just a season that I'm going through. Now watch this. If things are going bad, you ought to know also that God is using you in a bad situation. There are two things. God is using you because God wants to build you up and put you back on the right track. Or God is using you because God wants somebody to see you, and then God gets the glory. Oh, help me, somebody. And when I look at the center, they was in captivity. And so what God did is that God heard their cry. God said, I'm going to bring them out of their exile period. And that lets us know that there's a season for everything. That whenever the season comes, God wants you always to be wrapped up in him. Watch this. That when they went to exile, it's because of their disobedience. While they were praying and trusting in God, they were still in an exile period. God, help me. That lets us know here that when they begin to go back to God, now they belong back to God. They establish a relationship back with God in their exile period. Oh, God, that lets us know that as children of God, even though you're a prayer warrior, you're going to have some exile periods. God, help me, somebody. Even you're a prayer warrior, even you know the word of God, you're going to still have some captivity in your life. God, help me, somebody. It didn't mean you won't have liberty in your mind. It don't mean you won't have liberty to worship. It just means you're in captivity. Physically, but spiritually, you have freedom. God, help me. Now, it ought to be some folk in here to understand what I'm saying, that you've got some storms in your life now that's attacking you, but you got spiritual freedom. It means I can worship God through the worst thing that I'm going through. It means that I can praise him even though the situation don't look like it's praiseable. It means that I can lift him up although the storms are raging and I'm faced with a Katrina hurricane. Now, I can still worship him. I didn't lose all my physical things, all of the material things, but I still have the Lord.
Oh, God, oh, God. I wish I could get some folk to really be like that today because that's the way God wants us to be. Because when we don't do that, God don't like that. Now, watch this. When we look at here, in the book of Haggai, the Bible says here is that God brought them out of exile. God brought them out of exile. That first year, they started building him a house to worship. And so in the process of building him a house of worship, everything was going good. I want you to understand something, that if God ever bring you out of something, it feels good, don't it? God, help me, somebody. God, if you get me this job, I'm going to praise your name. God goes ahead. He gives you the job. He gives you what it needs. And for the first few weeks and months, you're going to work all happy. And you're praying and you're reading your Bible. And you're saying, thank you, God. God's provided for you. Watch this. I want you to understand something in the text here, that God here had brought them out of the exile period. And when God brought him out of the exile period, what God did is God told him to build him a house.
And what happened is, the first thing that they did that first year is they build a place of worship. So they build a sacrificial place. And they had begun to sacrifice things to God. Now, I want you to understand something about what God did. Is that when God brought them out, he didn't bring them out without nothing. God, help me, somebody. When I look at the text here, the text tells me is that after a while, the enemy got busy. There were two things. There were obstacles in their life. The Asherites, and then you had the Amorites, the Moabites. That neighbors saw that they were trying to build a house of God. And the Persian government begins to tax everyone, and their money had to go to taxes. They started running short on the money because they were trying to do two things. Number one, they were trying to build God's house in their own house. God, help me, somebody. And then what happens is during this time when they were trying to do for God in themselves, the devil threw a trap in their minds to cause them to say, wait, what's more important, building God's house now? Wait, that's important, because I want you to understand the text. The text is saying that they did not want to build it at all. They just wanted to wait till they build their own house first. God, help me, somebody. And what happens here is that when they're trying to build their own house first, they notice that trying to build God's house interfered with how they wanted their house. God, help me, somebody. They said, number one, we got two obstacles. Is the enemy don't want us to build God's house. And the second thing is that in the process of building God's house, it seems like I can't put my room big enough. God, help me, somebody. I can't buy the shoes I want. God, help me. Y'all know where I'm at. It seems like that it's taking too much of my own personal time to do something for God. What happened here is that in the text, it lets us know that when the enemy came up, the enemy looked at them and saw that they were trying to build a house. And the enemy said that it's all right for them to build their house, but if they build God's house, oh God, help me. So what I want you to do is, I want you to understand something, is that the enemy don't mind you going to work. The enemy don't mind you having a big house. Enemy don't mind you having the nice cars. But the enemy do mind you doing something for God. Help me, somebody. The enemy don't mind you in your health and your strength. The enemy don't mind you have it going on, looking good, walking good. The enemy don't mind that. But the enemy do mind if you make a sacrifice for God. God, help me, somebody. I give you the promotion as long as you never spend no time with God. Help me, somebody. The enemy will help you win the lottery as long as you don't pay no tithes to the Lord. You don't hear me, church. The enemy wants to build you up as long as you don't get a connection with God. Because if you connect with God, you attack down everything the enemy is trying to do. God, help me. So in the book of Haggai, Haggai looks at them. He gets a word from God. And I want you to understand that Darius is the king here. And Zerubbabel also now is the governor of Judah. And there Joshua is the priest. But God calls the prophet Haggai, because what happened is the people said, we've got to make a choice. The choice is rather to build God's house or build our own house. Now watch this. God gave to them coming out of their exile period. Watch this. Remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt? God said, go to your neighbors and get something from them. God help me. God called the Egyptians to give them gold and silver, onyx stones and diamonds. Why? God said, you don't come out of your situation empty. God help me, somebody. You always come out of a bad situation stronger than it was when you went in it and while you was in it. Help me, somebody. If you get out of anything, you're going to be much better than you were when you were in it. Can I get a witness here? God had enriched them with material things and spiritual things. But what happened? Now, they took the things that intended for them to live on and to see the God. They took it instead of doing great things with it. They took it and being selfish with it. Today, can I tell you something? That we are selfish with our servanthood. Can I tell you something? That we have hold to God's time that God's gave to us, and we use it for our own personal use and rarely use it for the use of God. If I was to ask someone here, when is the last time you encouraged someone that God can fix it? When is the last time that you came up to the altar and went prostrate before him just so you can get a closer walk with God? When is the last time you took two straight hours out of all the time that God gave you and you just got on your knees and spent it with God? I didn't say 5 minutes. I didn't say a few minutes before you go to bed. I didn't say a few minutes when you get up in the morning. I say just really giving some time to God because he is God. When is the last time you came up to the church and walked and just picked up some paper that was flying on the curb? Help me, somebody. Some walk over. You excuse me, they pay somebody to pick that up. But when is the last time you got in the kitchen and said that if I can just help but just take a couple of meals to somebody on Wednesday? When is the last time you came up in God's house and just took some Windex and washed the windows and didn't worry about who was paid to do it? When is the last time you took your Kirby vacuum that cost you $2,500 and just said, if I can just Hoover something at God's house? When have the last time you made a sacrificial sacrifice in the tithes and in the offering so that you can give it to God, not because you want something, but because he is God? When is the last time you came up to the Lord's house and say, if I can just greet at the door, usher someone in the presence of God, sing in the choir, not to make folk happy, but to make God happy? When is the last time? God sends a word out to Haggai and said, Haggai, I want you to tell them is that they have allowed their own house to be built up. And they make the statement is that the time is not now to build God's house. Many of us today here don't understand that God pours out his blessings to us. And all God wants you to do is sprinkle something out. God help me, somebody. God said, I'll do the pouring if you do the sprinkle. He said, no, I don't want you to give it all away because I want you to have something. But in order to keep the poem going, I need you to sprinkle. God, help me, somebody. Sprinkle for the benefit of the kingdom of God. God said, I'll do the blessing. I will bless you. I will take care of you, but I want you to take what I pour into you and sprinkle it out. God, help me. He said, you don't have to pour it all out. God said, I do the pouring. You sprinkle, because if you sprinkle, you're sprinkling the pour that I give to you. The sprinkle goes different places. The pour goes one place. Pour it out, God. Pour it in my mind. Pour it in my spirit. Pour it in my soul. If you pour it, then God, I sprinkle it. Every time I go somewhere, I sprinkle a little bit here, I sprinkle a little bit there, I sprinkle a little bit here, and God say, open up, because I'm getting ready to pour it on you, baby. I'm going to have so much in you that you're going to have enough to to sprinkle, and every time you sprinkle, I'll pour. He said, if you sprinkle over here, I'll pour it. But God, you're pouring too much. He said, just keep sprinkling, keep sprinkling, keep sprinkling, keep sprinkling. I told you I'd make your cup run over. I told you that I'd give you bones that would run out. If you sprinkle, I'll pour.
Look at this thing.
God says him. He says, I want you to tell them this, is that in the process that I gave them everything that they needed, I want you to understand something, is that they refused to build my house. Now, what I want you to understand is that the devil looks at this thing here, is that you build the house of God. That's the house of worship. God, help me, somebody. See, if you out here building your own self up about selfishness, pride, heavy, high-minded, if you build a house of God, then you'll be able to come in there and worship. If the house of God is together, God said, I dwell in my house. I put my glory in the house. Can I tell you something? Every time you come up to regular, you shouldn't feel the Holy Spirit when you come in the house. God help me. The Holy Spirit ought to be on the outside of the house. God, yeah. Because look, can I tell you something? If you walking around with the Holy Ghost, somebody walk by you, somebody talk to you, they not going to hop in you to feel what God's put in you. It ought to be all around you. God help me. And if you're sitting by somebody dead, I suggest that you take 2 seconds and get up and say, excuse me, Sister Hunter, or you don't mind. And go by somebody that's got some anointing by them. Because I'm tired of sitting by dead folk that don't want to jump up sometimes. I'm tired of sitting around folk that wants to talk while I'm trying to get my praise on. I'm tired of being around folks that's coming to church just for the gossip, just for the reading and note. No, I need God to do a pour out. And in the process of a pour out, I don't want you sprinkling some of the bad stuff you have in you. God, help me. Watch this. When I look here at the text, I look at the text here, and I see here that God says, here is that build my house. Now, what this means here, building the house, also means here that if I can just make it to church. How many of you know that sometimes if you just make it to the Lord's house, oh, God, help me. Something's going to be said. Something's going to be sung. God, that's going to cause me to take my mind off of what's troubling me. Help me, somebody. If I can get a word from the Lord in the ministry of singing, or in the words from the preacher that comes from God, if you come to God's house, that's why God said, I want the house to be built so that I can dwell in it. Help me, somebody. Because what happens is the devil wants to stop you from your servanthood for God. Because only what you do for Christ will last. So what happens, the devil threw something in their way and caused them to look at their situation instead of looking at the one who holds the situation. God, help me, somebody. The devil threw all kinds of hang-ups in their lives and caused them to say that if I go to God's house and spend my gas, I won't have enough gas to make it to work in the morning. But can I tell you something? The same God that blessed you with the car, God help me, would be the same God to help you put gas in the car. Sometimes you got to just step out on faith. You got to stop worrying about all this other stuff and see to your Father's business. And your Father's business is for you to spend some time in God's house. Help me, somebody. But you can't spend time in God's house if God's house is not built up. God, help me. And so what he does here, he tells them, he said, God has said that all of the things that you have, what he has done is he allowed it to rot. Watch this. He says, God, he said, God here has looked at your crops and called a drought to come in the land. He said, you can't get no corn. You can't get no wine. He said, you can't get this. You can't get that. It's because you put everything before me. God help me, somebody. And God said that I allow things to happen in your life is because you refuse to build my house. Can I tell you something? There are sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes God takes things from you because you're not giving God enough glory. God help me, somebody. I gotta go there. Sometimes God allow you to be in the lowest position because you've been walking on your high horse, riding on your high horse as though you are untouchable. God help me. Don't you ever think that God won't knock you down. You can be high today and God help me, somebody. You better stop thinking that you're better than everybody else. Baby, ain't nothing good but looking, ain't nothing wrong with looking good and smelling good. But don't you think you're better than the sister that shop at Walmart because you shop at Dillard's? You better stop coming up in God's house instead of spending time looking up, looking at folks' shoes. You better stop worrying about somebody else and start putting your mind on Jesus. Coming up in God's house all snooty like you all great thou art. You better stop coming up in God's house like you big and bad and you all that. Baby, you are a child of God just like me. Can I get a witness here? There ain't nothing wrong with looking good, baby. But don't you ever look down on the one that may not dress like you dress. Don't you ever think you better. Your hat is better. Your money is better. Your house is better. Because you can have a house today and be living in the yard tomorrow. Can I get a witness here? We're in this thing together. And so let me tell you. So God say, I blew up on it. God say, I blew up on it because you refused to give me your time. God say, I blew up on it because you refused to make a sacrifice to me. God said, I ripped it from you because you put it before me. God said, I allowed these things to happen because you didn't spend the time you should have spent with me. Can I tell you something? You need to start spending time with God. Help me, somebody. And can I tell some other folk here? This whole week, God's been blessing us in the house. And on Sunday, on Saturday morning, folk didn't know what was going on. And the reason is because you missed the teaching on Wednesday morning. God, you don't hear me. You missed the preaching on Wednesday night. God, help me. When you got here for Thursday, he shut it up. So you understand what praise was after you got the word of praise teaching. God, you don't hear me. So Friday night was about going in the action of what you already been taught. And on Saturday morning was not about praise, but it was about worship. God, help me. Friday night set it up for praise, and God set it up for worship on Saturday morning. And there were some folks that didn't understand what was going on is because you never had a worship spirit with God. Oh. Watch this. I want to show you something. But God says is that if you would go up to the mountains and get you some wood, is that I want you to go up there and get all these things that you need and come down and build my house. God wants you to look towards the hills from which cometh everything. Can I get a witness on this thing? God said, I want you to stop looking down. Stop looking at folk and start looking up from where the Lord is. He said, if you look up, I'll drop it down. Can I get a witness? Can I show you something here? I did this because God allowed me to get up in the morning. And I got some salt. I got some salt. And I went to Dollar Store on Saturday. And this is what I did because I think that it was important that whatever I need, I didn't have to spend a lot of money for. God help me, somebody. I have my jeans and my slip-on shirts on. And it don't mean I'm broke. God help me. Now watch this. And so what I did is I took and I looked at it. I was asleep about 3:30 in the morning. Oh, Saturday morning. God woke me up out of a dream. He said, I want you to take this seed and pour it in a salt shaker. These are little grains of rice. He said, this rice represents Jesus. The rice goes in here, represents Jesus. Number one, you have to have him in your life. Can I get a witness here? If you are without Jesus, you lost. Jesus must be in your life. Can I get a witness on this? Watch this. He says here, now the salt represents the Holy Spirit. And he said, I pour it in the Holy Spirit is wrapped in with Jesus. But can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit also is your source of everything you need. Oh God, help me somebody. Watch this. And so I saw in it, it was a little salt. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And the little salt, this is what God said. Inside of here is the seed, which represents Jesus. He says, what happened here, you have holes up at the top of the salt shaker that allow moisture to get in. God, help me somebody. He says here, you can sprinkle the salt, but the seed is still in it. I wish I could get some folk to see where I'm coming from. Now watch this. What happens in this case? God says the moisture is in here. And the moisture wants to make the salt hard. Oh, y'all don't hear me. The salt will not be able to come out if the moisture makes the salt hard. God help me. The moisture is the mellow elements of this world. The moisture is the trials and tribulations. The moisture is the problems that you have on the job. The moisture is when the children and the spouse get the acting up. It comes to try to make it hard. And what happened? It comes to prevent you from sprinkling. God help me. But God said, don't forget about the rice. Help me somebody. He said the rice sucks up the atmospheric moisture. God help me. He said, I'll be the seed. I have the moisture. If you just keep sprinkling, I handle the moisture. And while I'm handling the moisture, I still Oh, God, help me. He said, don't let nothing stop you from sprinkling his word. Don't let nothing stop you from being the salt of the earth. Don't let nothing stop you from being kind to somebody. Don't let problems come in the way and attempt you from losing your joy. I deal with the problem. I handle the trials. I handle tribulations. You just keep sprinkling and I keep pouring. Oh God, help me. If I can find somebody that don't mind sprinklings, telling somebody about the goodness of the Lord, if I can find somebody that don't mind being a light in a dark situation, the Lord say, I'll pour it out. I'll pour out my blessings. I'll pour out joy. I'll pour out mercy. I'll pour out peace. If you sprinkle it, I'll pour it out. When the devil comes, I'll fight your battles. When the devil comes, I'll tear out strongholds. When the devil comes, I'll suck it up and throw it out. Can I tell you something? As long as the Lord is with me, it don't matter who's against me. Ain't the Lord all right? Is it anybody here got the Lord in their life? Is it anybody here don't mind talking about Jesus? I dare you to tell somebody his name is Jesus, who woke you up. Jesus, who healed your body. Jesus, who made a way. Jesus, who took care of your children. Jesus, what's his name? Jesus, ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Is it anybody? No, the Lord is all right. Tell your neighbor, he's all right. He's all right.
Just sprinkle. Don't lose your religion. Just sprinkle. If you sprinkle, I'll pour it. Because the devil don't want you to get close to God. But I want you to build my house. So when you come in my house, everything that the devil tried to do to you, I take it away from you. In my house is the house of prayer. This is what God said, and I'm finished now. Don't come up in my house with no foolishness. Don't come up in here like you're a glamour doll, looking good on the outside, and ain't no substance on the inside. God says there ain't nothing wrong with looking good. But make sure you got some goodness on the inside. Because see, when you look good on the outside, you can walk up to somebody that don't look good and still hug them. And don't worry about what's getting on your clothes. Because if I bless you to have that nice dress, I'll bless you to have another nice dress. Because the reason why I made you look good is that you can show somebody, look what the Lord. Oh, you don't hear me, baby. Oh, you don't know about my past. You don't know about the one pair of shoes. You don't know that I put cardboard in the shoe when I had holes on. You don't know about that. You don't know. That's what you got to tell them. You say, you don't know about the one pair of pants and one shirt. And when I tried to wash it in a wash bug in the tub, somebody looked at me and said, didn't you have that on yesterday?
but look at me today. You don't know what I've been through to get where I am, so it ain't nothing bad about looking good. Just don't look down on somebody. Don't look as good as you. God, help me, somebody. Because we in this together. Come on, give God some praises. You sprinkle, he'll pour. You want to overflow? Just give a little bit. Not to be seen, but for the glory of God. Too many folk want to be seen. Baby, stand behind the scene. Let God be seen. Because when God will get ready to bring you out, he's going to bring you out. Ain't nothing wrong with having a big house, and ain't nothing wrong with having a small house. All I want God to do is be in the house. If I get God in the house, I can sleep with the rats. I can sleep with the roaches. I can sleep with the termites as long as God is in the house. Because if I keep praying long enough, he's going to take care of the rats. He's going to take care of the termites. He's going to give me another house. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Anybody know what FEMA can do? Anybody know God will send FEMA your way? Anybody know that he allowed Katrina to come in your life so he can put you up another house? Anybody know what I'm talking about? God will turn everything around. Oh! He'll make a table before the presence of your enemies, that every time those that rose up against you, they see you, all they got to do is because you know that God's been good to you. The doors of the church is open. Is there anyone